It's good to see all of you. I'm so thankful that Teresa's teaching today. We've all been eagerly waiting for her to do that. And now we're going to pray that God and the Holy Spirit works through Teresa this morning and thank God for watching over her and bringing her to faith that she can share with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jean. Love you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's such a joy to come here on Wednesday morning, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, as you can tell, things are going to be a little different this morning. Instead of doing verse by verse like we normally do, we're going to do a topical study. It's also, as you can tell, it's going to be interactive. You can tell by your homework if you were able to do that this week. And it's going to be visual. So are you ready for an adventure?
Yes.
All right. I was thinking this morning about some of the things that Scripture says very clearly why Jesus came. Like it says, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And if he's about that, we're about that.
Yes.
Scripture says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. I like to do that too.
Yes.
Scripture says very plainly, Jesus came to reconcile the world back to the Father. We want to be part of that too. That's our lesson today. And it also clearly says that Jesus came that we might have life through him. And that's our goal. As you can see, we have a little bit of an outline today. All right, we have the motivation for sharing the gospel. We have the means or the how-to of sharing the gospel and our main goal. That's our outline for this morning. And so sharing the gospel is the topic, so it's important to define our terms. So we're saying, let's go share the gospel. Okay, what's the gospel? I'm glad you asked. I found this on the interwebs a while ago, and it's just this acrostic of the word gospel, and you have it on the back of your page, of your study sheet from this week. And I found it a really easy way for me to keep in my mind at all times the basics of what the gospel is. What does Scripture say? So the letter G, if you want to fill it in, is God created us to be with him. We've been learning that with Mama Jean in the study of Genesis. God created us to be with him, to walk with him in the cool of the day. All right, so that's the letter G. The letter O, as we also learned in Mama Jean's study, our sins separate us from God. And then the letter S in our gospel, sins cannot be removed by good deeds. We can never be good enough to repair that separation we made. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. So we're in a conundrum. Okay. The letter P is where the good news really starts coming in. Paying the price for our sins, Jesus died and rose again. Hallelujah. All right, so who's this for? The letter E. Yes! Everyone who puts her trust, his or her trust, in Jesus alone has eternal life. Everyone. Everyone who puts their trust in Jesus alone has eternal life. And last but not least, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. All right, so that's, in a nutshell, the gospel. God created us to be with him. Our sins make that separation between us and God. There's nothing that we can do by our own means to reconcile or make right that relationship again. So Jesus had to do it for us, paying the price for our sins. He made a way back to the Father by dying and rising again. It's for everyone who puts their trust in Jesus alone. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. And that life eternal, it starts now and lasts forever. And that's the good news. So that's our definition. I wanted us to kind of keep that in mind as we're going through some of these scriptures. We're going to hit three of the scriptures that were in your study this week, just so we can all can kind of get on the same page this morning and moving forward into the interactive part of our lesson. So let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 26, verse 18. The setting for this verse comes from our study earlier this year in the book of Acts. This is where we find Paul standing before King Agrippa before he goes to Rome. And if you'll remember, he's telling King Agrippa about his encounter with Jesus, how he knows this good news is true. And just by way of reminder, he was formerly Saul. He's going to Damascus. He's been persecuting people of the Christian cult or sect. He's stood by while they're stoned. He's going to Damascus to do some more damage. And then Jesus by his grace and mercy, appears to him in a flash of light. He falls off of his horse. He turns around, says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting." And basically saying, "We're not doing that anymore. I've got a plan for your life. We've got things to do." And so that's where we find ourselves in Acts 26, verse 18, backing up just a little bit. Jesus said to him, "I now send you to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God," because remember, he came to destroy the works of the devil, "that they may receive forgiveness of sins," there's that gospel, "and share among those who are sanctified by trusting and putting their faith in Jesus." So there's the gospel message right there and what he's telling King Agrippa. And I think, you know, it would be kind of neat for all of us to pull out our prayer lists and everybody we're praying for salvation, that right now God would appear to them in a flash of light and knock them on their bum, and they would turn around like Paul and say, "Who are you?" And he'd be like, "I'm the one you said doesn't exist," or, "I'm the one you're hiding from, I'm the one you're rebelling against." Surprise! But he doesn't work that way. He's invited us to partner with him. And so let's look at Paul's instruction in 2 Corinthians and how we can do that, how we can partner with the Lord in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because that's basically what the gospel is. It's good news. It's what it means. Good news. And good news demands to be shared. I mean, nobody gets engaged and keeps it to themselves, right? They want to tell everybody. They're flashing their ring around like, "Oh, yeah, did you notice?" You know, we want to share good news. And this is the best news that there is. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 14. "For the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion, that one died for all," here's the gospel message again, "then all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised." Let's look down at verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Old things have passed away." And kind of a spoiler alert, you know, we want to know, what is our main goal? We want to know, in sharing the gospel, what are we aiming at? And it's not a prayer to go to heaven. You know, we're not going down the street and saying, "You just got to pray this prayer and you go to heaven." No, it's a transformed life. It's a new life. It's born again, made new, back in relationship with the Father. You can just hear God's heart in this. All things have become new. Verse 18, "Now everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who didn't know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now that's a good trade. That's a good trait, any way you look at it. My sin, his righteousness. Your sin, his righteousness. And then verse 1 of chapter 6, "Working together with him, we also appeal to you, do not receive God's grace in vain, for now is the time of salvation." Then I want to look at one last scripture from our study this week, in 2 Timothy. Now you remember that Timothy was one of the disciples that Paul picked up in Lystra, and he eventually became the pastor of the Ephesian church. And someone took 2 Timothy out of my Bible. Hold on just a second. Okay. And this is one of the last letters that Paul wrote, and he's giving him this last instructions, and this is what it is. Let's look at chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 24. "The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness, so that God will grant them repentance in the knowledge of the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, having been held captive to do his will."
So that gives us this picture that we're trying to paint today of what the scriptures are telling us about the gospel, about the lost, about our pardon, and about God's heart. So I want to go to kind of the interactive part of the lesson today. And I'm so thankful that so many of you were able to get to your homework. I do apologize that the spaces were pretty small to write in. But let's go ahead and look at that. That's the one that says, "Be tasty and bright" on the top. If you didn't, if you're here for the first time or you didn't have time to get to your study this week, feel free to you know, write the answers in, or the answers, the things that we come up with in the blanks. But at the top, you're going to notice that we have a key verse. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth." And this is Jesus' message to us from the Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You remember David in the Psalms wrote, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." People can't taste if we're not salty. And people can't see if we're not bright. And we want them to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because that's the message. He is good. Amen?
Amen.
That's the message. All right. So let's look at our study sheet. We're going to fill in some things here under the motivation. All right. So those of you that didn't get ready to shout out the answers. All right. So the first thing we're going to talk about is that question number one. All right, we're looking at our motivation, we're looking at our attitude in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. This is our, you know, our jumping off point. This is a super important thing to get our internal perspective and mindset right before we start trying to share the love of God. All right, so number one, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. What's the motivation? What's the attitude you found there?
Love.
We're going to find some other themes, but that's the basic motivation, right? We all know that loving God and loving others, everything else comes from that. And so some of those everything else parts are going to be in these other verses. So tell me, what did we find as far as motivation and attitude in 2 Timothy?
Kindness and loving patience.
Okay, kindness, patience, gentleness, able to teach. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Thank you. What else?
Lead by example.
Lead by example, good. Good listener, patient in enduring evil. Anything else from that first number one, any of those verses? What about the Philippians 2 passage? What do we find there?
The same attitude as Jesus.
Which was?
Humility. Humble.
Thank you. Humility, unselfish. These are awesome. That's a great list. So this is our jumping off point. This is where we want to be. This is where we want to be. This is our mindset moving forward. Okay, let's look at question number two. We've got two questions there. What are we called to be or do? And then the second, what is the goal in sharing the good news of Jesus? Let's stick in that middle one. What are we called to be or do? Anything from those scriptures, go ahead and call it out.
Christ ambassador.
All right, we're to be ambassadors. What else?
Seed planters.
Seed planters. Love it. Instructor. What else?
Prayer warriors.
Prayer warriors. Preachers. Preach it, girl. Anything else? What about that Jude 20 passage?
Important to build yourself up in faith.
Nice. Build yourself up in your faith. And others. Yeah, that's our goal.
Pray in the Spirit.
Pray in the Spirit. Like it. Show mercy. Awesome. All right, let's jump to the third column in that question. What is the end goal according to these scriptures of sharing the gospel?
Life.
Eternal life, okay. What else? Harmony or peace with God.
Escaping the devil.
Ooh, good plan. Escaping trap of the devil.
Sanctified by faith.
Nice. Being sanctified by faith.
Forgiveness.
Part of our gospel message. Awesome.
And you know, forgiveness is a two-way street. You need to be forgiving, and others need to forgive you, and you need to strive to help others forgive others. You know, it's a very fluid concept.
That's a free way to live. If we're forgiving, so we don't live under offense. It's a very, very good. Thank you for sharing that, Joe.
All right. I like the one in Jude where it says he protects us from stumbling, right? And we get to stand in his presence with joy. I love these pictures. And that's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to get us to see the whole picture, to see it all laid out. I'm very visual. Actually, I need help in all areas. I need to hear it, see it, touch it, smell it, all of it. And so I can start to get it. But this is kind of the picture that we're going for of why we're doing what we're doing, how we're doing, what attitude we're having, and then this middle part, the means, we're gonna get into a little bit more. Okay, so the means, or how to do it, is basically the gospel. We're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And when we look at question number 3, these are scriptures about what condition or position the lost are in. And this is super sad and super eye-opening. And so let's just call them out instead of me writing up here. And I want you to kind of think in your mind that over here, there's darkness. There's darkness. And over here is the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. And the thing in the middle, as you can see on your paper, is Jesus. Jesus is the one who takes us from darkness to light. So let's kind of get a picture of where the lost are.
They don't know they're lost.
They don't know they're lost. That's over here in the dark. What else? The good news is veiled to them. What else?
They're perishing.
Slave
to sin.
To sin, they're what?
Blind.
Yes. The gospel is veiled. They're held captive by the enemy to do his will. They're trapped. They think they can see, but they can't. I was standing at my window this morning, and the sun, I was looking out at my backyard, and it was light in my house. So it was light. But when that sun came up, and I had just closed my eyes just before that and was praying, and that sun came up, and oh my goodness, the brightness of that light, even though my eyes were closed, I could see and sense the light. I mean, it was a completely, you know what I'm talking about when you walk outside. And it gave me that picture of the people who over here in the dark, and they're lost. And some of them, most of them don't even know it. But as soon as we are that light, when we come into that presence, it's like the sun was for me this morning. Even though their eyes are closed right at the moment, they can see something's different. There's light here. I'm missing something. All right, let's go over here. What's the opposite? What is the kingdom of God like? Where do we want to see them go from that place of darkness over here to the kingdom of God? Joy.
Transformation.
Transformation, yes.
The light of himself.
The light of himself shining into their hearts. No longer walking alone. Not walking in deception. Being in the truth. This is where we want to see them go. From there to there. And we get to partner with God right here in the middle to see that happen. Okay, so that sounds a little scary sometimes. You say the word evangelism and it sounds scary. But we want to take the scary out of evangelism, okay? Now we're going to have this broad picture of what we're looking at, where the lost are, what our part is, what Jesus has done, what the good news is. What are some ways that we even we've probably done and didn't know we were doing, of planting seeds? That whole picture of planting seeds, because is our responsibility in the parable of the sower to make the seeds grow? No. What's our responsibility?
Plant.
Just throw them out there. That's all we have to do, because God causes the growth. Maybe someone else comes along and waters, and maybe someone has the joy and the privilege of bringing forth the harvest in a prayer or something. So we're going to look at some ways, and this is where you guys are going to brainstorm with me. I've written down some ideas that I've been trying to do and that have kind of worked for me in the past, but I want to know, all of us together, ways that we can sow seed. We're getting ready to go into the holiday season. We're going to be around a lot of people, whether it's at home, at someone else's house, in the stores. We're going to have lots of opportunities to be doing this and encourage each other in it. And I do want to write these on the board. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start. So you see on the back where it says sowing seeds. Let's look across the top, and really this lesson simplified, I like to make things simple, that's how you remember them, is with the motivation of love, by taking the good news of Jesus, our goal is to see people reconciled back to the Father.
to be back in relationship with God like it was in the garden. That's what he's been working on through the whole scriptures until Jesus into today, is a way back to him, to reconcile to the Father, a changed life, being back in relationship that you were created to be in, to be image bearers again. So that's simply, if you get nothing else out of today, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you help to drop that from our brain and into our hearts and our actions. Okay, so let's talk about sowing seeds. And this is so much simpler than I ever made it in the past. And I think the first one that's super important is to pray, right? We have our prayer list, we're praying for people. When we pray according to God's will, he hears us. And we know it's his will that people come back to a relationship with him. So this is a prayer that he hears, so pray for them. And I heard something recently that really struck a chord with me, that as we're led by the Spirit, because that's the super big key, all of this has to be done by the leading of the Holy Spirit. When God highlights something to you, no matter what it is, any of these seeds we're going to talk about, just do it. Be led by the Spirit. Don't make this a checklist. Please don't make this, okay, I'm going to go shopping today, I'm going to stop at the doctor, I'm going to do one of those seeds, and then I'm going to go home and make dinner. Don't make it something you check off. This is, we are filled with the Spirit of the living God, and he leads us and guides us in this because he's the one who waters the seed and leads us where we need to go. So, not a checklist, filled with the Spirit, pray for them. And so this is what I heard. Someone said, being led by the Spirit, you will know whether you're going to talk to God, pray about someone, for someone, or if it's time now to talk to someone about God. So there's a time to talk to God about someone, and there's a time to talk to someone about God. Clear?
Yes.
It is here. Okay. Pray. So definitely pray. All right. Another one, and you may scoff. Scoff away. I'm okay with that. Smile. I can't tell you how many conversations I've been able to get in just by smiling at someone. I went to coffee with Diane earlier this week, and I got there a little bit earlier than she did, and the little girl, I know I'm old enough to say that now, the little girl at the register taking my order, she had the sweetest smile on her face, and I was able to just smile back and start talking about smiling. You know, what makes you happy? What brings you joy? How do you wear that smile? And then be able to share how I get up in the morning and have that joy and wear the smile. Just simple seed sowing. Smile. I've also heard testimonies of people who sadly feel like they have no way out and they're going to end their life and they're on their way to do that. And someone takes time to smile with them. I mean, a real big face smile wave. I see you. You're important. You're a person. I've heard testimonies that people have come to Christ through that and not ended their life here. Smiling is a big thing.
Showing kindness.
Showing kindness. And that should be one of our motivations. One of the things under love is being kind. It opens a lot of doors. It's not necessarily our go-to when we're in a hurry to stop and be kind. Oh, that's another thing. Did anybody hear Lisa Harper this week? She does a podcast and comes out on Monday. She said she's going to increase her IQ. Like, well, I can't do that. But she's not talking about this IQ. It's her interruptibility quotient. Woo! I need to hear that. I'm a woman on a mission. It's like, what is your interruptibility quotient? I need to be interruptible. I need to be able to hear the Spirit say, stop what you're doing, sow a seed. All right. It was for free. Okay. All right. The next thing I have on my list is come and see. Come and see. Anybody watch The Chosen? This is a big phrase from The Chosen. And we see it in scripture. Philip, one of the disciples, he was a come and see kind of guy. Like he went to Nathaniel, he didn't have a big theological degree or take classes in evangelism. He just said, come and see. The woman at the well, when Jesus sees the woman at the well and he has this encounter with her, what does she go back and say? Come and see this guy that told me everything about my life. Could he be the Messiah? Come and see. And we can do that. They used to have cards in the back. I don't know if they do anymore. If they do at your church that has the address and the times of the services, you know, just, hey, just come check it out. Come and see. Come and see. Come to write on the back your name and your number. Come to Women's Bible Study on Wednesday. Come and see.
All right, come and see. Does anybody know who Albert McMakin is? Albert McMakin. Nobody.
Albert McMakin was a come and see guy. And guess who he told to come and see? Billy Graham. So talk about sowing a seed just by saying come and see, and the fruit that came from that ministry of Billy Graham, because he told him to come and see.
Enormous.
All right, we live in a technological world, ladies. So in technology, how can we use technology to sow seeds? Easy ways, off the top of your head, what do you think?
Just send nice messages.
Yes, send a nice text.
Yeah. Even on Facebook, share a good prayer.
Facebook, a prayer. What about songs? I know Diane actually sent me a song yesterday, and I've been geeking out about it, but there are so many songs that actually have the gospel message in them. And you can get on YouTube or whatever platform you use, and it's got the lyrics right there and cool pictures in the background. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a song and it made me think of someone, saved, not saved, and say, hey, I thought of you in this song, I'm sending it to you. Because songs, music has a way of getting past that barrier that we put up and goes straight to our spirit. And the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to use that. So as you hear a song and you think of someone, go find it, take a couple minutes, go find it with the video and the lyrics on it, and put it in a text to someone or email to someone. Or an encouragement. So many people going through such hard things, and there's so many songs that minister to that. So I encourage you to do that too. And there are podcasts you can send. It's endless today. So many things I don't even know, but are such a blessing. It's sowing seeds. Friendship evangelism is one of my favorite. I'm a social person. And you know, not all of these are gonna fit everybody. And the Holy Spirit's gonna lead you in the way that He thinks is best. Friendship evangelism is just what she's talking about. You know, start other relationships. For me, it could be inviting you to coffee or inviting you over for a game night, or I'm walking down the road and I pick the same time of day to walk so that I see kind of the same people. Just building that rapport, because, you know, a lot of times people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? To make that platform and use it. And that's all about being salty and bright too, right? In friendship, because eventually you'll invite them enough times and invite them for dinner or wherever you're gonna go or do, and you start sharing about your lives. And because your life is wrapped up in the good news of Jesus Christ, it's going to come out. They're going to see it. They're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. All right, I do have another one that kind of can have a bad taste, but it depends on how you do it. Be led by the Spirit. We all know about gospel tracts, right? Well, here's one I found, and I brought some so that everybody can take some if you want. And it's the Candy Cane Gospel, and it's just written so simply, so well, and with love and kindness to the reader. This is something, if you make baskets for your neighbors, put one in your Christmas cards. You can have it at home laying around and someone pick it up when they're coming over for Thanksgiving, or however the Holy Spirit has you do it. All I can think of is, okay, I ordered 100 and we pass those out. That's 100 seeds. Just by handing a gospel or leaving it at the doctor's office on the table where everybody has to sit for a long time. 100 seeds. So I'm going to put these in the back. Please take them, use them, pass them out, because I think it is an effective way. We hear lots of testimonies of people coming to faith through that. I'm not one to stand on the street corner and hand them out, but if the Holy Spirit tells you to do that, you do that. Just be creative. All right, so are there any other ideas about sowing seeds? Jean?
I think the main idea, and I say, number one, somebody want to know what I had in this, why I brought my butter.
She has a butter container. What's in your butter container?
Seed.
No.
If you do not put that seed in your heart, you cannot sow it. That's why I love that you all come to Bible class. I think that we look at ourselves and all of this. When you're looking at Jesus and when you're looking in His Word, and when you realize it's not me, it's Him through you, I just think about me and my seed. If I don't go home and put these in the ground, the only thing I've got is a plastic thing here with some seed in it.
Wow.
But you've got to have this in your heart if you're going to share it. So always, always give God the glory and look toward Him.
Amen. What a good word picture for us. We've got to have the seed sown in our hearts. Otherwise, we've got nothing to share. The Holy Spirit's got to have something to pull from. Right? And that's why we come. And that's why we love to come, Mom Jean.
I still have a little card that I found in a bathroom in the early 70s. And I still have it in my bathroom.
Well, there you go.
And
when
it
says,
nothing happens outside of His will.
Mm.
And then other things, but
good
heavens, that's a heavy thing.
Is Lisa here today? That's how she came to know Christ, was with a trap.
Lisa?
Uh-huh.
Wow, well, there you go.
Yep.
I bet we all know someone. Yes, ma'am.
One of the best ways that I have found to minister to people who are unsaved is to meet where their needs are, to minister to them, whether it's food, whether it's taking care of a child, going in and leaving mama for a few hours because she's had a sick child, a hospital visit, that will impress the unsaved more than almost anything we can do.
Oh, that's awesome. If you were here last week, that's what they do. It's a mercy ministry. I love that. And there's always a need. And they're usually highlighted this time of year, but should be seen all year. So a mercy ministry, they were sharing last week, that's how they get in. They have a feeding program there, and they have a school. They're meeting needs, and it opens the door for the gospel. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I don't want to shut anybody down before I go to the last one.
Hats for the homeless.
Hats for the homeless.
Thank you very much for those hats for the homeless.
Yes. Yeah, that's awesome. Ministries at your church. Operation Christmas Child, right? Sowing seeds. We're sowing seeds. It's wonderful. And it's fun. All right. So the last one I had is Go and Tell. We had see. Now we're going to look at Go and Tell. And before we work on the worksheet, let's think about the demon-possessed man on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus and his disciples were on a boat, and they were going over there, and that day was considered such a dark place. Nobody goes there. Jewish people didn't go there. It's dark, Gentile, 10 pagan cities. Well, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, so obviously that's where he's going to go. And when he goes there, the first thing he sees on the shore is the demon-possessed man. And he casts out the demons, and the guy is sitting at his feet and says, I want to go with you. Let me go with you. And Jesus didn't say yes. He said, no, I need you to stay. And then you look a few chapters later, and I don't know how much time had elapsed, and they went back to that place. Mm-hmm. There were crowds and crowds and multitudes of people there to hear what Jesus had to say because that man went and told what Jesus did for him. That one man. Now, he could have gone with Jesus and sat at his feet, and that would have been lovely for him. But all the people, all the seed he sowed, he went to tell, and then he says, come and see when Jesus came. And that's a good encouragement. For us, it's a good picture. So I handed you a handout. Scripture encourages us to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. It doesn't say always be ready to tell someone how you're right and they're wrong. Okay. I tried that a couple times. It doesn't work. It's not that motivation of love. God's teaching me. Okay. So always be ready to give an answer for the hope which is in you. We've planted those seeds in Bible study. We have this hope in Jesus Christ and to be able to share that with others because people can see there's something different in you. So on one side, you're going to see a witness for Jesus. And this is something that was handed out at our day women's retreat from Karen Kendrick. She just was awesome and wanted to bring it to our class. It's a picture of a circle divided into three. And it's a way to prepare your own personal testimony. Testimony is something that we can share with someone that they can't say, that's not true. Like, I don't believe the Bible, so don't preach to me from the Bible. But our personal testimony, our personal story can't be negated. And it's super powerful, just like the man in Decapolis. So she gave us this handout, says, a witness for Jesus. Your very life is to be evidence in the case for Jesus. And it goes on to some things. And I like the circle. Look at the circle. And then it has lines at the bottom. The circle is divided into three parts 1/4, 1/4, and 1/2. Everybody see that? We're on the same page. She says 1/4 of your testimony, or this paper, is to be about your life without Christ. So if you're going to do a 4-sentence testimony, which I do encourage you to write over the holidays, or a 2, so 1 or 2 sentences. Say you choose one sentence, my life without Christ. Wasn't raised in a Christian home. Sentence 1, okay? The second part, our salvation experience. Then I went to a David Wilkerson crusade and heard the gospel for the first time and gave my life to him. And that's 2 sentences. The third part is 50%, because that's about our life in Christ. We don't want to highlight all the bad things we did, all the terrible things the devil did. We don't want to give him any glory. We want to give all glory to the Lord. So that last part, that 50%, is my life in Christ now. How everything's changed, and I have hope, and I don't live in fear anymore. So that's 4 sentences. If you decide 2 sentences each, 2 sentences about life without Christ, 2 about your salvation experience, 4 about your life in Christ. And the more you think about it, the easier it is, and the more at hand it is when you're talking to someone, when they're saying, you know, what's the big deal? How's your life different? Well, here, let me tell you my testimony. And then it just becomes the springboard. But it's good to have that in our tool belt. All the things that God has given us today, they're in our tool belt. I was trying to think of a better picture for women. Our sewing bag? I don't know. Our apron, yeah, something. Yeah.
Our purse.
Our purse, okay. To have it at the ready when the Holy Spirit prompts us to share.
On the phone.
Okay, so have it on your phone, have it ready. Be thinking about that, but really, truly, we have some time without homework. It's just a good thing for us, too, to remind us about where we were and what Christ has done for us and the difference he's made in our life. Talk about being thankful. There's a good Thanksgiving topic. Okay, I want to bless you, Lord. Thank you. I want to close out by saying a prayer in Scripture. I want to pray over us. And this prayer comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. And so basically, I've just taken the verses and turned it into a prayer. We love you, Lord. Thank you. All right. Heavenly Father, may we be devoted to prayer. May we stay alert in prayer with thanksgiving. God, may you open a door to us for the message of the gospel, for the sowing of seeds. May we walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of our time. May our speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, knowing how to answer each one and give the hope that is within us, because it's all about you, Jesus. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these ladies. Thank you for what you've sown into us. And we decide to be a yielded maidservant of the Lord, and we're delighted to do so. You are worthy of it all. Shine bright in us. Make us tasty. We honor you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for all these women that are prayer warriors for their loved ones, for every single need that comes across them, Father God. We just thank you for this group that joins together and pray for everything that you know already in our hearts, but we just sometimes cannot put the words together. We pray for those that are not here, for those that are traveling, for those that are mourning, for those who hurt so much, Father God. You know that you know every single request of our hearts, Father God, and we just love you. And we thank you for Jesus. They came to be our Savior. Father God, teach us to be like you, to share of your love, to share of your light. Guide us today. Show us our purpose in you today, Father God, that we may just be that light that someone needs today. Even by just smiling, like Teresa said, a smile shows love, shows care, tells them that we see them as you see them, Father God. Guide us through this day, and just every single woman that's in this room, Father God, that they may be your light. And just thank you for your life, for your love, for everything that you give us daily. We love you and we praise you. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.